just reminded by AGP that my mic was not on, so thank you for that, AGP. We'll establish a quorum. We do have a quorum. Mr. Maloney is not with us at present, but we have a quorum, and we'll call the meeting to order. And the first order of business is a moment of silence, please. And given that this is December 7th, that seems a very appropriate thing to do. Thank you. Pledge of Allegiance. Bill, would you lead us, please? Okay, the next order of business are any announcements or presentations. I don't believe we have any presentations this evening, but announcements from the board. Bill, start with you.
I just wanted to recap that the Jesse King Memorial Paddleboard Race that we held a couple months ago raised $1,680 that we'll be donating to the Junior Lifeguard Program through the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department.
That's great. Yeah, great. Dana?
Yes, hot off the presses, we have the Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation's annual tide calendars with photos here of local sailing events and scenery. And they are a $20 donation. You can pick them up at the Yacht Club on Friday evenings, about 6 o'clock, between 6 and 7, you usually can get them there. Or you can also go to mbysf.org and order yours that way, and someone will deliver it to you.
And the proceeds are used for?
The proceeds are all go to the foundation, which all the money is used to facilitate any youth sailing programs in our county. Having said that, the ones that are here are the Morro Bay Junior Yacht Club and Cal Poly Sailing. And it's working out really well. We've done a lot for them, and Cal Poly's doing really well. And they just got some new collegiate sailing boats that they use for racing called FJs. And so it's working out really well. It's a good foundation. Thank you.
Dana, is there a limited number of calendars?
There is a limited number. Good question. We have 100. Roger Marlin has done a really good job helping us put these together the last few years. A sailor himself, he was a delivery skipper for years and years.
So it's a genuine collector's item?
Yes, every year it is. And the tides are accurate. They're not an hour off L.A. Harbor, you know, San Pedro or something like that. They're so it's a real working tide chart there with a graph, so it's easy to read.
Okay. Lynn?
Today is December 7th, and I think it's 76 years ago, but we ought not to forget. We ought not to forget our history so that we do not have to repeat it.
Jeremiah?
Yeah, I don't have anything to say except that I thank both you, Ron, and Lynn for mentioning the date and the event. Thank you.
Gene?
Yes. I have several things here. Last Monday at the presentation or at the appreciation dinner, I received this plaque from not only Ron, but Eric and the rest of the Harbor Advisory Board. It says 30 years of service. It says lifting the Morro Bay Harbor Advisory Board for 30 years. That's been a long time. I really appreciate it. I think of all the different board members that I've served with, and all the different commissioners and council members and every single board. We don't do this for any particular reason. We're just doing it because we're happy and we're pleased and we're grateful to be able to live in Morro Bay and work in Morro Bay. And it's just a wonderful place, and I'm really pleased to get this. So thank you. And then on to more practical use. Every year I talk about, you guys, if you have a mooring or a boat, you need to check your lines before and after storms. So here's a pennant line. It's been stretched out, and this particular part of it is called the hockle, where it's come out and come undone again, twisted on itself. Where the line goes over the rail of the boat through the hawser hole or the chocks or whatever, this just wears out and wears out. A really good way to prevent that is just a piece of fire hose. You can get this either from the harbor department or myself, and you just slip that in there where it goes over the rail of your boat. You can just seize that down with some line or even duct tape, and that's a really good chafing gear. The next thing I see on moorings is people don't want to speed off a mooring of a boat. This is the load line, and this is the bitter end. You take the load line part of it, and it goes on first. And then either you can go around, and you just figure eight it. It's pretty easy. And then you do a hitch where you just lay that underneath there, and that locks it down. What you don't want to do is start with. Did you see something wrong there, Lynn? Say it.
Well. You're supposed to make the X underneath and they're so that they're parallel and doesn't go straight around. That's what I was taught.
Okay, well, as long as it works. But you don't want to start with the load line and then just keep going back and forth over the top here, because then you've locked yourself in. If there's a load, you can't get it undone. The other thing I see is people don't know how to tie a bowline. It's really, really simple. You make your loop. You make a bigger loop, it comes out of the rabbit hole, around the tree, and back through. And that makes a pretty simple knot. You can undo it, there's no problem with it. Later on, you can just break that loose. A lot of people get confused on where to make that loop and things. So a number of years ago, Jim Murphy showed me a really easy way to do it. If you're just like you tie your shoe, now you just make the cross like that. If you take the bitter end and pull it back, it makes that loop. You just continue around and back on through. And there you go. It's really easy. And I'm sure everybody on this board knows how to tie a bowline one-handed behind their back out on the bowsprit. Okay, that's my presentation.
And a snowstorm.
And a snowstorm.
And a snowstorm, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Gene. Thank you. Yeah, it's the time of the year to think about all that stuff. I have... One announcement. From time to time, the board has talked about the possibility of GPS mapping the mooring fields out in the harbor, and an engineering class, they call it a GIS class at Cal Poly, has agreed to do that as a student project. And so after the first of the year, we'll get organized with them, figure out how we're going to get them out there on the water. Their work product, which is electronic mapping of the mooring field, is going to be tied into the city's mapping system. So it'll be a matter of history and maintainable over time. Okay, so that brings us to public comment period. Anyone who has public comment for an item not on the agenda this evening, or who cannot stay for one of the agenda items, please come to the mic, give us your name and your residence, and let us know what's on your mind.
Hello. My name is John Gillespie. I live in Santa Margarita, and I'd like to observe December 7th. It's good to remind and remember that generation of heroes stood up and went through a lot of trouble. My dad was among them, and a lot of good men that taught me how to fish. And I appreciate them to this day. Last time I came to this board, I was addressing an issue about the moorage costs that I've been paying at the T pier as compared to the other commercial boats that have slips in the harbor. There was a motion made and carried that they were going to work on some sort of parity for that, especially in view as I'm a local citizen and I live in the county. And I guess that didn't happen. Anyway, I've been paying more moorage than other fishermen over the years, and I just don't feel that it's been fair. The other issue I have is I've twice been and my deckhand ticketed for living aboard the vessel on the T pier, which is the only moorage that's of the size for my boat, which is why I guess I don't have a slip. For living aboard, and I've stated that the reason it's an old way of dealing with fish boats and old fishermen. You know, the old guys kind of keep an eye on the boat when the skipper's away, and it's a real restful feeling knowing I got someone that's taking care of business down there, especially with a lot of people walking around on the docks. And And I've had thefts and found people on the boat, and things moved around when I wasn't down there or when somebody wasn't down there. And I think there's something wrong with that regulation. It doesn't seem to respect the tradition and the practicality. And I'd like to see something done about that. I've had to go to county or the city attorney's representative and express my feelings about it. I don't see any reason for why they do this other than it seems harder every year to be a fisherman. I guess another thing I have on my mind is last time I was in here, there was some other fishermen who wanted recognition for the hardship they were experiencing, and when the domoic acid was wiping out the crab and they weren't making a living, and they were worried about being able to keep up with all their payments and stuff. There's a lot of aspects in fishing right now that we've had 4 years of bad tuna seasons. I mean, significantly bad due to the warm water, exceptionally warm water. And I've seen them back in the 70s. I saw it happen, and in fact, it made me as a fisherman realize that I needed to know more than one fishery if I was going to be a fisherman. Well, the federal government, and I've expressed to them that, you know, that a man needs to be able to make lateral moves to other fisheries when cycles are not good in the fisheries that he's regularly participating in. To no avail. They have an agenda that seems to be detrimental to fishermen. And in that case, as well, the food security of the United States. Start running off the people that know how to do things, grow things, catch things, and present them and process them and produce them. And we're all going to be victimized by that, if not us, our grandchildren, if we allow agendas to get out of hand and go counter to what's a sensible, traditional way of doing things. Case in point, the quota system. The community catch shares system. At this board, I believe I recommended that it would be a neat thing to get a grant and get some of this quota that was being privatized and agendized by the National Marine Fisheries Service, and have it available for the fishermen in this port. And I told them that the National Marine Fisheries Service is a wild card. You got to really watch them. And they slipped one in. Boy, the observer program has made it absolutely ineffective and inaccessible to most of the fishermen in this bay. And it's discriminatory. It's unfair. It discriminates for the big boats and the little boats, smaller operations that don't want to go out and kill a whole bunch, just want to get through the winter, are discriminated against and can't participate. I believe that the men they put in charge of this and the men that went and secured the grant may have been good at that, but they weren't fishermen and they didn't know what they were up against. And I would recommend a little more teeth in the approach to this organization of the federal regulation and speak on it often and directly to its unfairness and its it destroyed the intent of the community catch share program. I'm sure I got something else in here to say. I haven't been here for a while. That's probably enough to crunch the next meeting. I thank you all for listening to me.
Mr. Gillespie, thank you for your comments. I heard actually two macro parts, actually three. One had to do with your moorage here in Morro Bay. The second had to do with difficulties of people who, as you so quite correctly said, catch, grow, and raise and bring to market things. There's nothing that this body can do or say about that because we're a non-political entity by virtue of bylaw. And the third part, I heard what you said about the quota system and about the observers, and again, this particular body is constrained from addressing anything that could be construed as a political issue. We do not participate in regulation, and we don't advise on regulation as it relates to the fisheries, but you are welcome anytime in public comment to bring anything to our attention you'd like. I know the harbor department, because you're a moorage tenant, knows how to reach you, and I will commit to you that to get a current status on the first two items that you brought to our attention and to get that communicated to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry if some of it wasn't relevant that I said here.
Relevant is not correct. It's just we're happy to listen, and the public also was listening because this is publicized. This is a broadcast, I should say, but we're constrained from addressing those issues.
Well, I'm glad I introduced it to the thought, culture, and atmosphere so people can be aware of what's going on around them.
Okay. Before you leave the mic, sir, any questions from the board? Bill?
Two questions. I actually was at the chair at the time that you came.
Yes, you
and
were.
Brought the two concerns that maybe pertain to us, which is the mooring fees and the liveaboard concept. I know for a fact that the Harbor Department is working on allowing liveaboards in the North T Pier for qualified and people that have paid their mooring fees. I also know that you're in arrears of approximately $7,000 in payments for your boat right now, and I think that's become a detriment to try to solve some of your main issues.
Yeah.
Seriously speaking.
Seriously, I'll talk about anything. I'm an open book, man.
Okay. So, you know, I think that those two concerns, I mean, the liveaboard concern, I think we are working on that. We listen to you and kind of agree with you that there is some legitimacy to your concept of having liveaboards on the North T Pier. But the concept of being in arrears, that's something that we can't deal with unless that's brought up to...
Oh, I understand.
You don't understand that?
I'm abashed that I'm in this situation. I have for a number of years, especially the last few, because of the bad tuna seasons, have been in arrears, and the first check I write when I go catch a load in the first part of the tuna season was to the harbor department. And I brought that up, you know, brought it up to a currency. Until this last year, very bad year, had some real difficulty, and I thought I had it up. And then when I got back, I find out that I didn't. Some hardship befell me. I tried to stay on top of it and was ready to go fishing, getting ready to go fishing to remedy it as I had in the past. But I was stricken by an eye disorder that required surgery, and I was laid up through this tuna season. It's a hardship, and I guess that's one of the things I was mentioning. There has to be some wiggle room for the contemporary standards of decency when people are stricken with things.
I think that there is, and I think that we've allowed that. So
certainly.
I think we need to try to see if we can remedy that situation somehow or other, and that would be a correspondence with the Harbor Department. But
one more surgery, and I'll be able to see to it.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Gillespie. The next agenda item is A1. We have a consent calendar, and item A1, which is approval of minutes from the Harbor Advisory Board meeting that was held on November 2nd, 2017. And does anyone have any corrections or additions to those minutes as presented to us? Seeing none, motion to approve. Seconded by Dana. Moved by Mr. LaFay and seconded by Mr. McClish. Any discussion? Seeing none. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Carries.
Hello. Oh.
Ma'am?
Hi. Do I just introduce myself and...
Is this public comment, ma'am?
Yes, it's a public comment.
Oh,
for the community,
sorry.
Society, and
I apologize.
Maybe
moving,
the state or something.
I apologize for moving forward. So if
it's very accurate right now. But it just has to deal with me and my situation and my outlook on things lately.
Does this have to do with the Harbor Advisory Board, ma'am?
Yes, I think it would have a lot to do with your coast or your harbor and everybody participating in everything that has to deal with everything that happens at a harbor or a bay, let alone the coast.
Oh, okay. This is the Morro
yes.
Bay Harbor Advisory Board, and our sphere.
Yes, I'm aware.
Our sphere of interest is the harbor and only the harbor.
Yes, I'm aware, but I actually stay over here at the harbor. Me and my family have came to visit Morro Bay over 30 years. We probably came just about once or twice a year, and one year we probably came about up to 4 or 5 times just visiting friends in Cayucas and Pismo. We've stayed, and I've also known about the shell shop down at the end of the pier area, the bay area, and that shop's been around ever since I was a little girl here, and a lot of things have happened lately. I know around here a lot of the building. And I've noticed a lot of people, not many people have changed, not the way of many people have changed, but their whole outlook on things is kind of different for me, because I actually never put my feet down here. This is always a vacation place. I actually lived in Northern California, and my mom, she loved the coast a little bit. And she had actually bought 2 houses out here. And we'd actually rehabbed a couple of others. Anyway, a lot of families out here aren't aware of my homestead, the place I actually would consider my home. a lot of people from religious backgrounds, Pentecostal, Christian, Catholic. They live over inside these areas over by the, I guess, the RV park and over by the house. That's who what I would assume stays over there the most. I'm not really sure who comes over there periodically to do other things, but that would frustrate me as well as the community. I think it's really difficult right now for me to pick a place to call home. I'd rather it be at the house over on the end with overlooking the ocean. But I'm not really sure how other people want to perceive that, because two companies I know of want to fight over the house. I don't want to sell it.
Ma'am, in front of this body and for this meeting, you need to focus on things that directly relate to the harbor, please. Directly relate to the harbor, as opposed to any of the surrounding residential or commercial area, with the exception of the Embarcadero. We have no particular business taking to public's time to talk about. So if you could restrict your comments to the harbor, please.
Most certainly. Well, the harbor is a nice place where I would bring my family. That's very true. And it's a nice place for me to be, because a lot of people in this atmosphere understand just exactly what I've been through. And I know it gets really cold out there, but for the most part, I'm not worried about the weather, and I won't complain about it. I just hope more families can be upstanding and try not to ridicule of any kind, because I know this is a great community. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you. Thanks for your time. Okay. I did not close public comment. I apologize to the public and to the board for not doing that. Is there any additional public comment? Seeing none, we'll close public comment, and we've already addressed A1, although it was out of order. But I think we're fine with that. It was the minutes. That brings us to reports and appearances. Item B1, which is the Harbor Department status report. Mr. Director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to start off with the advisory body appreciation, a little recap on that. On Monday evening, we had a little get-together at the Yacht Club. Thank you, Dana, for arranging that. City Council got together, and all the liaisons were there, and thanking all the advisory boards and bodies, Planning Commission, PWAB, Citizens Finance Advisory Committee, Harbor Advisory Board, everybody. Great little event, little social event there. Lots of folks showed up. I got a few certificates here still for Ron Reisner. Ron, you weren't there, unfortunately. You were, I think, away on business. But we've got a number of certificates that everybody's presented with. So I've got those for Ron, Peter, Owen, and Neil. And then I just want to touch on Gene's a little bit more. I'm not going to let Gene get off quite that easy. And thanks, Ron, for helping me put that together. It was a pleasure doing that. Just to put it in perspective, Gene came onto the Harbor Advisory Board in 1988. That was about a year after it used to be a commission and got switched over to the Harbor Advisory Board. He came in here in the 1960s, graduated from Cal Poly in the early 70s in architecture, and lived in Los Osos ever since. He's got his fingerprints on a lot of developments all over the waterfront and all over town, really. A lot of good fingerprints on a lot of good projects. Gene served with such notable folks, as most of us hopefully remember these folks. Some of them have passed. Dean Tyler, Jody Giannini, Ray Krill, Nancy Bass, Don Lockwood, Jim Wood, Roger Anderson, Jim Phillips, and Fast Eddie Ewing. So Gene's seen a lot come and go. He made a funny comment at the event the other night. Matt Makowski was doing this presentation and mentioned that he had served under about seven different mayors and seven different city managers. And what was your comment, Gene? Yep, they just come and go. And I stay.
They're kind of like the tide, you know. They come in, and then they go back out.
So Gene's probably faced just about every issue this board's ever faced. And I think, honestly, that the recognition we gave him that he's been lifting the Harbor Advisory Board was sort of a pun, but also really a truity in that he has helped this Harbor Advisory Board over three decades do that. And hopefully he'll be here for a couple more decades helping out. So I just wanted to make sure we recognize him properly. Thanks, Gene.
Thank you, Eric. And thanks to the rest of the board. I appreciate it.
Okay, on to status report. Usual Harbor Patrol statistics made over the last month or so, 9 emergency responses, 111 calls for service, 32 assists, some enforcement contacts, and a couple weather warnings. As you know, it's been relatively calm from a weather standpoint. I think we had one big swell a couple of weeks ago, but not terribly large. Had a little hazardous bar conditions, but nothing that was terrible that vessels couldn't pass with either us or the Coast Guard standing by to assist. So fortunately, knock on wood, that all went well. November 26th, we had a climber on the rock, found the person, advised him to stay in place until first responders could come. He was able to come down on his own unassisted. I think he was sighted once he got back to the ground, so the usual warning to the public, it might look like a nice place to go climb, but don't do it. Number one, it's dangerous, and two, State Parks is more than willing to write you a ticket for doing so, so stay off the rock. City Council activity on November 14th. Council approved an adjustment to our budget coming out of our harbor, our accumulation fund, $45,000 for engineering and permit administration. Basically going to be hiring some consultant help to help me on the boat launch facility grant, $1.9 million grant. We have $250,000 now. Boating Waterways Engineering doesn't quite match their cost estimating and doesn't quite match their feasibility studies. So in order to reconcile that, I'm going to hire Marwall Construction to work up a project scope in our own estimating. We're going to bring it back to DPW, and hopefully we can reconcile all the books and keep moving forward and not lose the couple of years that we already have into this project with Boating and Waterways in the grant process. On the fishing front, Dungeness crab season's open. I don't know if Jeremiah wants to jump in anymore, but I think pretty much everybody's gone north. We've got a couple boats that are working out here locally, but I think our 3 or 4 year run of Dungeness out front is faded, and they're back up to their normal grounds up north.
Yeah, there's not much to say, unfortunately, on that, Eric. So hopefully they'll show up a little later on in the season here. They do very often, traditionally, show up
late in the season.
A little later. So
we'll see where that goes. Haven't heard any message or news of any domoic acid issues in that fishery to date so far. They had some closures down in the lobster season down the Channel Islands early on, but I think Dungeness so far is doing okay. And then recreational Dungeness also opened. I think it actually opens in early November before commercial. And then December 31st is when the recreational rockfish season closes for 3 months. I think January, February, March is when they're closed, and we'll open up back April 1st. Upcoming events, and this is really an ongoing event now, the Tall Ships Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain here in town through December 12th, I believe. They've been going out and doing sailing and doing some mock cannon battles. They've opened for dock tours at Subsea Tours dock down there, so go take advantage of that while those boats are both here. And you can go online to historicalseaport.org to get on their schedule and buy tickets. December 1st to the 17th, Morro Bay Winterfest. Various activities, I think, kicked off with the tree lighting last weekend and 3 days of boat parade. We had not one night of boat parade. We had 3 nights of boat parade, or 2 nights in 1 day. Friday evening, we had judge parade, but just a free-for-all parade for folks that wanted to enter that had boats sponsored by various waterfront businesses, which was pretty well attended and had some good decoration going on. And then Saturday night had our usual parade. 39 entries in the beginning. I think we ended up with about 35. A few dropped out, but due to promotion and probably some prize money this time, I think they had $1,000 total in prize money. We had about 35 entries, which was a lot. If you were down here on the waterfront, it was packed. I mean, all the way out to the rock for an hour and a half after the event was over was red lights, people trying to drive out down the Embarcadero. It was just absolutely full. Never seen it so full. So very successful.
Do you know who won?
Mark Tognazzini with his Bonnie Marietta had it pretty well lit up. He was the winner. Morro Bay Yacht Club?
Mike.
The Morro Bay Youth Sailing Foundation received second place. We had our two of our coach boats. One in the front had Rudolph, big inflatable Rudolph. And then we had four of our Opti sailors dressed with reindeer antlers with their boats with their sails up. And then in the back was Santa's sleigh, the Optimoto coach boat. And it came out pretty good.
Just to let you know, Dana was on Optimoto with a really big belly.
That was my life jacket under the suit. But it was packed. I mean, it was amazing to see how many people were here. Yeah, it was the best lighted boat parade that I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, weather was great.
We had great weather, so you didn't have to worry
about
cold. It raining. It
wasn't freezing cold.
Right.
Yeah, just a ton of people around. It was great. And December 11th through 13th, Morro Bay Police Department does their caroling with cops, or the police cars driving around and carol the different neighborhoods. You can go online to the city's website and see the schedule for that one. That will be in your neighborhood. January 1st, we will participate as a training exercise up in Cayucas with the annual polar bear dip. We go up there with Cal Fire and other agencies and stand by for safety and do some training, interagency training with that, so we'll be up there again for that. And January 12th to 15th is the Morro Bay Winter Bird Festival. Go online to their morrobaybirdfestival.org, and you'll see a lot of great events you can sign up for there. They're all not just in Morro Bay, but they're all around the county, different sort of events going on. So that's it for the department update items, a little on the thin side because it's been quiet. It's wintertime. Pending HAB recommendations, we've modified this chart a little bit more. So what you'll see, things that I'll bring up and that have changed since last time, I'll bring up in red. Item number four, City Council approve issuance of final draft Marine Service Facility Boatyard RFQ. We are in the process of putting together that RFQ, working with the ad hoc committee, and I propose to have that in front of the Harbor Advisory Board for review in the February meeting, unless we do something in January. As you know, we've on the agenda, we've got cancellation of the January meeting for a couple of reasons that we'll get to, but if we don't do anything otherwise in January, we'll look at that in February. Item number seven. City to share TOT sales tax and possessory interest tax revenues collected to go into the Harbor Fund. Currently, we don't receive any of those taxes. Lori put a request or a call in inquiry into the State Lands Commission to see how other municipalities or other title and trusts are handled, and she was informed that it's pretty normal for those taxes to go into the general fund of whatever organization is around that harbor. It's not normal because we're not, quote-unquote, taxing authorities. That general funds are the ones that receive those taxes. So probably a dead end to pursue. We'll discuss it with our finance director at some point when we get in front of her. As an ad hoc committee, as you know, we've kind of been putting that off for a while as we've been going through a lot of changes, but I don't suspect we'll get a lot of traction with that one. The State Lands Commission says that's normal. So that's the status on that. Next one down, item eight. City Council include proposed eelgrass language into general plan, local coastal plan. As part of the staff report, I'll give you an update on my proposal from Anchor QEA. I've got a change to that, so we'll be looking at that on that item. And then on item number 12, paid parking to be established on and around the Embarcadero. We made some recommendations regarding paid parking on and around the Embarcadero. Per the Community Development Director, PWAB, the Public Works Advisory Board, it's been discussed with and tentatively going to the City Council in January, February for further input from the Council on that. Bill?
I actually watched the Planning Commission agenda item regarding the parking. Did they take in our recommendations that we provided?
They were.
Did you give them to Scott?
They had them, yes. I don't know what. I did not watch that, so I don't know what action, if any, was taken. But, yes, and our recommendations, I'm assuming, are going to go into the City Council as well as input to that process.
Thank you.
But, in fact, we don't know that.
So that's all the items I have updated on those charts. Any other questions? And I think that's the end of my status report as well.
Okay. Questions from the board regarding the director's
I think that to reiterate, I would like to know whether or not the list that we put together was agendized at the Planning Commission meeting and is going to be given to the City Council. I'd like to know if that is a true statement. That's all.
Okay.
And a little feedback there. I sent essentially that question to the chair of the Planning Commission and did not receive a response. So I don't actually know whether it got through or not, but we need some feedback. So that was pending HAB recommendation item 12. Any other questions or comments? Dana?
Yeah, Eric, the tall ship to go out on there, you said to go to a website. What was that again?
Those are both, I believe, handled through the same organization. Historicalseaport.org. Then I think you'll see is the different ships listed, and you can click on the ship, and then it'll go to schedule and information about the boat and all sorts of things.
Thank you. Very good. Just I think that's having crazy. Been working down on the waterfront and seeing them cruising around, it's really cool looking.
Yeah. I drove
just
by.
Just to have in Morro Bay. I mean, I know they come every year, but the weather's been spectacular, and they go in and out, and they go out and do, they've done some sales recently since the Chieftain came in, I think Tuesday.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see them cruising around Morro Bay. I mean, talk about a tourist attraction.
When you see them outside of the rock there, it reminds me of in the movie Goonies, the very last part of it, where you see this sailing ship go by. It's pretty cool looking.
Yeah, I think maybe the mock battle is occurring tomorrow outside the harbor. But the historical seaport, I think that's the Grays Harbor Historical Seaport. They're out of Washington now, I believe.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else for Eric? Okay, Eric, relative to the status of the pending HAB recommendations, if you could perhaps provide just a bit more information on some of them. What, please, is the current status of number one?
The state park item?
Yeah, I know what it says, and thank you for that information, that on the 1st of November, effective 1st of November, staff have reached out to parks to renew discussions. It's now December 6th or 7th. Has there been any response?
I haven't been able to get scheduled in with state parks to get the local state parks folks talking again.
Okay. Number two, which on November 1 was, has to do with BMPs. Work ongoing, tentatively scheduled to come to the HAB early part of 2018. Have you targeted on a meeting for that?
I actually was hoping to get, that's a part of our rules and regulations process, and those had tentatively, as you and I, set up this agenda, was going to have one of the items on for this month, but due to other things, just didn't have time to get to it on the agenda. I'm hoping February, maybe March, early. I want to start getting those knocked back off the list again.
Okay, and item number five, which has to do with the joint working waterfront committee as formed by the city council and as directed to the community development director to put us together. Do you have any current information from the city as to when and if?
Yes, I do.
The second meeting will occur?
Yes, I do. Thank you for bringing that up. I meant to bring that one up, but I didn't. Yeah, I talked to the community development director today, and we're tentatively looking at and polling the members of the committee for January 11th, right after the holiday season. It's a Thursday, I believe. So those of you on the committee, our committee, should be seeing something from Scott Graham if you haven't already. I hadn't seen it by this afternoon, but he's going to be sending out the information on that.
Okay, thank you. And item number six... The last entry on November 2nd relative to the cost allocation plan, an update for that was that you had plans or intentions or wishes, you had a desire to approach the new finance director in January. Has that been scheduled by chance?
That's still in my plan to work with the new finance director on that, yes. We are just getting to mid-year budget adjustments right now, and finance director, as you know, brand new, just jumping into things and just trying to take care of her business and get her feet on the ground. I have not gotten in front of her yet for cost allocation or several other things that I need to do, but that is definitely part of my plan to stick with that, and maybe December, but more likely January. She's got a lot of big ticket items on her plate right now trying to get knocked off.
Okay, thank you. And when you, and did I understand when you were talking about item number 7, which had to do with tax, that you're going to try to bundle that?
Yeah, I'll throw that in there. I'll bundle that with her. I said I last finance director didn't appear to have much desire to move it anywhere, but now that we've found out this is a relatively normal process by the way it works, I don't know that we will get any traction with it, but we'll try.
Okay. And item number 12, I think you gave us, you told us that it was going to go forward. Is there anything that you would recommend that this body do to facilitate that? Or is it on automatic?
I think it's on automatic. I don't think there's anything more than we need to do. I will make sure that our recommendations move forward to whatever body look at it.
When you send that out, if you choose to do it by email, could you copy the Harbor Advisory Board in on that distribution, please?
Sure.
That'd be great. Thanks. Okay. Anything else on this agenda item? Okay. Moving on, brings us to our business item, C1, update from staff and the Marine Services Facility Boatyard Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's and the staff's recent activities. I'll call first for public comment. The television audience should know that we don't have we no longer have an audience this evening, but I will call for it, but it's going to be a very brief activity. So seeing none, Dana?
No activity at this time. As the ad hoc committee goes.
Okay, and Eric, did I understand from your report that, did you say RFP or RFQ?
In my staff report, I'm just reading, it says RFQ. It should be RFP, Request for Proposals for Financial Feasibility.
Okay, and for those maybe who are in our television audience who haven't followed that, could you give us a very brief history of the meaning or the purpose of that RFP, please?
So the RFP, Request for Proposals, basically asking anybody, any firm qualified to produce a financial feasibility study for a boatyard in Morro Bay, theoretically in the Triangle parking lot, which is the southern end of the power plant property, of a size and scope that we've looked at and identified in the past, and looking at it with fresh eyes to see basically if it financially pencils out or under which conditions it financially pencils out. So putting out an RFP that'll stipulate what sort of services we're looking for, what sort of study and report we're looking for, and then put that out to public to bid, and then we'll get firms to bid on it.
Great. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. Comments or questions on C1 from the board? Bill?
I lost my train of thought. I apologize.
No need to apologize.
No, let me.
It'll come back, I'm sure. Anybody else? No?
Oh, I know what it was.
See?
I do apologize.
There it is.
Three meetings ago, we discussed in the interim here to create a storage facility in the triangle lot. Where is that right now?
That, along with several other of our goal items that we're researching to bring to council for consideration, are going to be going to the city council. When I, to use Ron's word from earlier, bundle them, I'm going to take several of those revenue-generating ideas to city council early next year and move it forward and see where the council wants to take it.
Okay, that brings us to C2, an update from the Finance and Budget Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities and review of current department capital improvement / replacement spreadsheets for Harbor Advisory Board review. And those spreadsheets were attached by the Harbor Department to this agenda, so they are published. And the chair of that committee, Mr. Maloney, is not with us this evening. But I'll first ask for public comment. And seeing none, close public comment. So, Eric, why don't you very briefly describe what we have in front of us?
Sure, thank you. So I did meet with Neil earlier this week, just kind of go over where I was going on this and what sort of direction we're looking for. So as we're working, starting to warm up to the budget process for FY18-19, what I'm looking for here tonight is basically a looking more at process rather than individual items, and maybe prioritizing. I think we'll do the prioritization of the capital requirements. So what's in the staff report, maybe I should back up for a second, is three different spreadsheets that I think we've all seen: our capital equipment requirements, capital major maintenance and repair requirements, and capital replacement requirements. Capital meaning big, expensive, permanent things like piers and slips and vehicles and boats. So we've put together these spreadsheets, and again, the way the spreadsheets are arranged in the dollar figures you see in the columns as you move right, those aren't numbers that we necessarily have in the budget and budgeted for those items. Those are the estimated per year amortization cost that you would sink into those items over the life of the item in question that you're maybe looking at. And I'll just use one for an example: a 2013 Ford F-150 pickup truck, $40,000 to replace it in 2023. You got X number of years between now and 2023. 40,000 divided by those years is 5,700 per year. So that's the methodology on those sheets. Those sheets are basically, if money were no object, this is how much we'd put in an account every year for them. Of course, as we know, money's an object. We're revenue limited. And so we have to pick and choose what we're able to do. So I don't really intend to go through the list item by item. I think I want to have the ad hoc committee do that first and then bring it to the HAB for an overall look at it. What I'm looking at more tonight is process-wise and moving forward, and I'll give you a brief outline of the city's budgeting process, and then we can maybe enter into discussion on how we'd like to have to, and the ad hoc committee to interject into that process. So tentatively right now, come January, February, we'll start getting numbers from finance in terms of the hard costs that we know of personnel and insurance and other things, and start plugging into our draft budgets. In February, on the 28th, we're tentatively getting a budget forecast study session for the City Council. As you know, we've historically for the last few years had a model that was created by Management Partners that has a million different variables, and you plug in different assumptions, and it shows what the revenue and expense forecasts are. So February 28th, tentatively scheduled to have a 10-year forecast study session with the whole council. Most of March, the 1st through the 23rd, is when we start developing our internal budgets within each of our departments. And then towards the end of March, the 24th, is when the finance department wants our first round of draft budgets to start going into the city council process.
Sorry, what was that last date?
March 24th. March 27th, so the end of March into April, the last couple of weeks, last week in March, beginning of April, finance department and department heads get together and start horse trading on numbers and asking questions and getting questions answered and drilling down more on what our budgets are. April 10th to the 21st, so somewhere through the middle range of April, city manager and the department heads get together and start working on budgets and budget prioritization and how that might start weaving into the goals process. Towards the end of April, finance director and city manager hopefully have our final staff budgets together to go to the city council for the first part of the city council process, which tentatively is early part of May, May 9th, as a budget study session, tentatively number one, and then May 23rd, another budget study session, and then a third one if required in the end of May, and then beginning of June, hopefully the first council meeting, adopt a budget. So leading up to May, when the city council gets it in their hands in the end of April, when us department heads are finalizing, you know, from early February moving forward is when we really start getting down and dirty into it and coming up with where we think our numbers are and where we want to go with it. Bill, do you have a question?
Comment. I am on the ad hoc committee. I think that the way that you have this is great. I think the one element that's missing, though, for the person that's looking at this is really what is the accumulated funds. So you have all these figures. That's all nice and dandy. And maybe I missed it, but what's the realistic figure that we have to work with? Because I don't think we have all this money.
Oh, we don't have all the money. I can tell you
so
that right
my question, so you're going through all this, so what's the point? If you don't have the money, I'm just trying to see, so if we're going to be picking and choosing and having people look at this thing, we should have a figure of what do we have in the accumulated fund right now, and then what do we anticipate in 2017 and 2018, carrying over to 2018, 2019.
Right. Like I stated earlier, I don't have the intent tonight to start wrangling
no.
over.
No, I understand.
But yes, as we go into this process, absolutely, we need to know how much we have to spend.
Okay.
Because if there's only $50, there's not much point in doing anything.
That's all.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm saying here.
Yeah.
Well, I don't agree with either one of you when you say there's no sense in doing something. I think publishing, especially as it relates to capital to a capital improvement budget, projected capital improvement budget, I think it's extremely important to develop it in a meaningful and reliable way and put it forward. Otherwise, the decision makers might assume that everything is just fine, when in point of fact, we know that in terms of any number of capital improvements, things are not fine.
No, Ron, I think you missed the point. I didn't mean that the exercise was fruitless. It is very important but we do need to understand, if we're going to do this, that we don't have the funding and that we need to find the funding, or we need to pull it from the general fund of the city if we're going to maintain our harbor.
Well, so as it relates to process, because that's one of the things the harbor director asked for this evening, was a board response to regarding process. We can use color for a given entry, a color code, a keyed color code to indicate various and sundry things. We have the money, we don't have the money, we're already in deficit, I mean, whatever it might be. That is dependent upon people being able to pull up the color electronically or print the color electronically, so perhaps there's something different to do with that. There's any number of methodologies. You quite correctly talked, Eric, about prioritization. So you might consider introducing, unless you tell me that there's something already in here, might consider introducing a column regarding prioritization with some sort of coded priorities, maybe 1 through 5. I mean, 1 is if we don't do it, we got big problems. Two is we better do it in the next, and define it by the number of years or something like that. Gene.
Eric, in this process, when did the board get a chance to say, well, I don't think those dollar amounts are correct?
You want to give me an example? Well, I can sell an example.
I'll give an example of the dock constructions.
Say again?
The dock construction cost.
Mm-hmm. So let me make a comment on that.
Okay, yeah.
That's an excellent question, but let me make a comment on that. So one of the things that has to take place and hasn't yet, and Eric alluded to this, or actually stated it, is that the ad hoc committee needs to meet with the department, and this is my movie, not necessarily the committee's movie. I'm just one member of the committee, and go through these line items and review what the assumptions were that drove them. And the committee is not a closed body. Any board member that wants to participate is more than welcome to participate. So I will set that meeting date, meeting dates, however many it takes. We'll set that first meeting date with the ad hoc committee to go over the assumptions that the department used, and I will put out a notice as when that date and location is.
So I think your two points, Ron, you're about your prioritization, and Gene, your question about how we derive assumptions or where we're going to have input on that. I think both, to answer Gene's question, both in the ad hoc committee and in the Harbor Advisory Board in general, but I think those two items are exactly the kind of input I'm looking for tonight. And process-wise, what are we looking for in process? What are we going to be happy with in terms of the committee and the Harbor Advisory Board and staff putting together in here? And those are two items that hit right to that, and that's the kind of stuff I'm looking at. Again, not necessarily haggling over numbers and priorities right now, because I've still yet to go through that.
From the board? No? I just feel like we should give you more. But apparently we're not going to do that this evening.
No, that's fine. That's what I say. From a calendar standpoint, I would look at probably January, February. We'll start working with the committee to hash these things out, haggle these things out. And March is probably a good time to put it on the agenda as a on the HAB agenda for broader HAB review, and potentially even April if it needed to push off over into April. We've got a brand new city manager, brand new finance director. I've just got a draft budget calendar. I knew what the last city manager and last finance director did. I don't know what the process is exactly going to be this time. So there may be some unknowns and things might scooch around a little bit here, but I think that would be my general intent, would be to bring it to the Harbor Advisory Board likely in March and maybe April.
Working back from the schedule that you gave us, March 24th, the Harbor Department submits its draft budget. Did I get that correctly?
Correct.
Okay, so working back from then, it seems to me that we would want to bring the committee's work and whatever work product you anticipate putting forward in your to your department head rodeo in our March meeting. And I don't have a calendar in front of me. What's the first Thursday in March? Well, yeah.
Yes, you do.
I only paid for half of it, but that's the first half of the year, so I get to look at that. So. First Thursday is the first.
Wow.
So I think we're probably looking at doing some pretty serious work in January and February, because
yep.
we're going to want to put this on the agenda
yep.
for the Harbor Advisory Board on the first. Yeah, first of March.
With February being a short month, too.
Yes. So that, are you in a position now? Do you have your calendar with you? Can we set a tentative date in January for that first meeting?
Pull out my handy electronical device. January, okay. Okay, I've got a calendar. What do you want to know about it?
Well, the Eric's schedule is probably maybe even tighter than ours. I would suggest an ad hoc meeting. Like January 15 or 16.
Is that high tide, low tide?
Actually, the tide is quite high on the 15th, 16th. So what's the phrase? All tide raises all sugar. All boats. Okay.
The 15th is a holiday. Martin Luther King Day.
Okay.
We can do this offline. I don't know that we need to.
Can we?
Right. I mean, that week.
All right. I just want to drive a date.
The week of the 15th.
Or the late the prior week.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else from the board on item C2? Okay, thank you. Brings us to C3, update from the Eelgrass Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities and update on Eelgrass Management Plan Consultancy Proposal from Anchor QEA.
The committee has not met, and we have been waiting for this update from the Harbor Department for quite some time. What the status of the negotiations with Anchor are.
Oops, so I guess that's me. So, get me back on the agenda here. So what I've gotten back together, thank you, QEA, and revised, and through the Harbor Advisory Board input we got a couple of months ago, and then getting with the ad hoc committee and getting some more input, revised their scope of work, wanted to get rid of some of the review of existing material out there, because we knew we don't really need any review of existing material. We kind of know what's out there, and there's no sense just finding out what that is and spending money on it. So what we really wanted to see from Anchor QEA was an identification of the issue within the framework of the California Eelgrass Mitigation Policy, meaning a quick statement on here's the problem and here's the problem with the policy and what's happening in Morro Bay in the context of existing projects or projects that are trying to be. Number two, identifying lessons learned from Newport Beach and or Humboldt Bay that may be applicable to our process. In other words, looking at those two documents, Anchor, as we know, has worked pretty extensively on the Newport one, not on Humboldt, but they've done a brief review of it, and it looks like Humboldt Bay's plan may just be more of a statement than an actual working document, but we'll yet to be seen where that may take us. So we'll identify the lessons learned and see what may be applicable to Morro Bay in that, and then identify a critical path forward to develop policy, and including roles and responsibilities and deliverables of a consultant in that process, not necessarily going down the process or policy development path, but at least identifying a critical path forward for us to sink our teeth in and see if we can move it forward through the City Council and budgeting process. So with that, I've got a revised scope of work from Anchor. Basically, as I stated, those three items on here, they've summarized them, summarizing typical projects in Morro Bay that may impact or be impacted by eelgrass and understanding what the specific needs of the city or the waterfront developers may be. There's a presentation to the Harbor Advisory Board in there somewhere where it makes sense on what they found in the Newport Beach Plan and the California UGAS Mitigation Plan and Humboldt that may be applicable to us and useful for us for lessons learned. Incorporate input that we've got from the Harbor Advisory Board and from the Ad Hoc Committee and prepare a memorandum outlining framework for an eelgrass mitigation policy or plan that could balance our commercial and recreational uses with management of the natural resources. So that's what I've got back from Anchor. I think it's responsive to what we're looking for rather than what their initial program was, and I think they've got a better understanding. I will be meeting with that consultant here as soon as these fires are over. Unfortunately, he lives in Ventura and had to evacuate his home here earlier in the week. And so once that settles back down, he'll be back, I think, working a little more earnestly. And so we'll be able to get with him and work out a contract and move that forward.
So we're grateful that they submitted a revised scope. What about the cost?
They're still proposing, as I told them, we had of a budget, what we're trying to get for budget. It's on a time and materials basis. It's basically their primary consultant will be Jack Malone, and I've got his costs on an hourly basis. But he's going to be doing it on time and materials. Not to exceed $5,000.
Thank you. Part I was looking for.
Okay.
Anything else from the board on C3? None? Actually, I did not call for public comment on C3. I messed up again. But there is no one to offer that. So brings us to C4. Update from the Marine Sanctuary Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. Calling public comment. I've seen none. Moving on. There is no current activity relative to the Marine Sanctuary Ad Hoc Committee. Brings us to C5, update from the Working Waterfront Ad Hoc Committee on the committee's recent activities. Calling for public comment. Seeing none. Gene?
Yeah, three little items. Can you repeat, Eric, the date when we're going to have a public meeting?
We're tentatively hoping for January 11th.
Okay, and we'd encourage the public to show up for this meeting.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's a public meeting. It's still primarily a workshop for the two ad hoc committees of planning and us to get together and hash things out, but we're looking for meeting room space, and hopefully that date works for most everybody. They've had some changes on planning commission with Dr. Teff passing away, but he wasn't on the committee, but they're getting new, hopefully filling that advisory board seat and our planning commission seat, so... They did finish. Okay. But we've still got our two members from Planning Commission that will be coming over to work with us on that. So January 11th is what we're tentatively setting, and Scott will be setting that out and putting up the meeting room together. And I think one of our goals in this is to put together, as I recall, comments from the meeting we had a couple months ago, was a little more definitive agenda. Maybe some deliverables or at least goals of what we're looking to get out of it. I think we had a good free-form session last time, but I don't think it was terribly productive, probably because it was free-form, but it was a good opportunity for everybody to just kind of get everything off their chest and just sort of lay things out there. But we're aiming to make the next one a little more organized and have an agenda with some goals to achieve in it.
Okay, and the second comment I had is I had a meeting with Scott Graham, Planning Director, and just a general question about where the general plan is on the update, and we're a little more than halfway through. It has to be submitted to the Coastal Commission by August 17th, so we're going to have to get our input early into these people. Part of the problem of getting this thing all put together is that the county has two coordinators that are they consultants are in their part of this process also, and they're both retired. So the county's got to get a couple more guys in. You're shaking your head, Bill. Once the general plan is submitted to the Coastal Commission, then there'll be some revisions, and it has to get back resubmitted by December 8th of of 2018. So it's proceeding ahead. So we just have to work due diligence on our part to make sure that they have the input that we need to get to them.
Hey, Gene, can I? Go ahead, Bill.
Gene, do you feel that our input or your input on your committee is going to be included in that general plan update on the working waterfront? And I mean,
I can hope so. I would expect so. I mean, they're looking for us for advice, and so we will give them our input, and hopefully it'll get included right in there. I mean, that's why they asked us to give us their input. So, and we'll make sure we'll look at it, and we'll have a chance to review that. So, and then the last thing is Dana mentioned to me that on latitude 38, there's a nice article about waterfront views and waterfront jobs, and it's a working waterfront subcommittee that they've built up in City of Alamitos. And so if you have a chance to read latitude 38, it's a good little article.
Gene, what is you mentioned county, retired and county employees, what is their role in all this?
I'm not really sure. Just got mentioned that there's two guys who are part of the county that are part of it, and they're both gone. So the county has to allocate funds to coordinate with the Coastal Commission.
So the county has some role in the local agency's general plan,
currently
local
so.
Coastal plan development process?
Yeah. And I may have misread what Scott said, but I think that's what he was telling me.
Any questions for Gene on the board? No? Okay. That takes care of C5, brings us to C6, the proposed cancellation of the January 2018 Harbor Advisory Board meeting. The regularly scheduled date would be January 4. That's obviously not very workable. The staff is recommending that the January 4 meeting be canceled. That's fine. That makes sense to me. Speaking for the board, we always have work to do, and I am reluctant to cancel the January meeting. And I'd like to propose for the board's consideration and for the Harbor Department's consideration meeting on January 11, which is a Thursday. That's during the day. That's not. Is that going to happen at night?
4 o'clock.
Scott and I were talking 3-4 in the afternoon sometime for the joint meeting, working waterfront meeting.
Yeah.
So you want to try and do it after that?
Yeah. Or, I mean, there's nothing sacrosanct about a Thursday.
No, there's not.
Could be Wednesday the 10th.
My birthday?
Your birthday? Whoa.
So we could presents?
So we could have a roast? we could have a Harvard director roast on the
Tiger.
10th? So before I poll the board, is the department in a position to support a January meeting?
We're in a position to support one. I said in here, unless we, and a couple other times in the agenda here, unless we January potentially cancel the regular meeting and reschedule something different, it's just a matter of finding the right date for it.
Well, I have one more question, if you know the answer. On what date, if you know, will the council do its interviews? It's advisory board and commission interviews.
Lori's whispering over here. She thinks it's the 10th. I don't know that date off the top of my head. I don't have that in front of me.
Is the board open to having a meeting in January, sometime in mid-January? Okay. So how about this? Let's confirm that date, that council date, and then we'll schedule. With that in mind and with the Working Waterfront Joint Committee meeting in mind, then let's schedule a date.
So, and you as the chair, you've got the purview to call that meeting. We don't have to set a date tonight.
I'm not going to set
that. And we can pull the board and make sure, look at availability. I would like to, if we're going to do one in January, again, due to the holidays in front of it, and how much time we've got less in December, potentially look at, and we'll, you're the agenda setter, so we'll talk about this, but I'd look at limiting the agenda, not go through the whole regular normal gamut. I'd like to focus on a couple things that we really want to focus on, maybe even one thing, and just knock one off the list.
It makes perfect sense to me.
Okay.
I hate to lose the opportunity to move some things forward.
Okay.
Okay.
So I think we still need a vote to cancel the regular January meeting.
Oh, thank you.
I'll make that motion.
You're welcome.
Okay. Sir. Okay. Any discussion? My discussion is that we're only talking this motion is restricted to the canceling of the of a meeting on January 4, 2018, and does not address canceling a January Harbor Advisory Board meeting. Any comments, questions? Call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. Okay. Thank you, Eric. Okay, and item D is declaration of future agenda items. We're missing a couple of items that were previously declared from the list on this agenda, a BOEM update and an update from the Morro Bay Community Quota Fund. So we'll get to those.
The other, I mean, we removed the Back Bay item because we did that.
Correct.
And what else did you say was on there? Can you repeat that, Ron?
A update from BOEM or from any wind energy player off the coast of Morro Bay.
Okay.
And the second one was an update. From the Morro Bay Community Court.
You know, I think where that one went was that we were going to have that in this meeting,
yes,
as we discussed, but Duane was not available.
Sure.
And something else on Duane's schedule or came up, so we pulled that one off. So I think when Laurie was making this, or when we made this agenda up, we were, okay, we're doing that one this time, so we crossed it off, and just when that didn't gel, we didn't put it back on.
But didn't notify me. Yeah. So I'd like to see the quota fund one. It's been a while. I'd like to see that on pretty soon, but you and I can talk about that. Any other future agenda items that the board would like to consider?
I would really like the Harbor Advisory Board to take up the motion to create a business improvement district on the Embarcadero, primarily for funding infrastructure projects.
Wow.
We'll never get anywhere with any money unless we I definitely think it's a good idea. I did have a chance to chat with Eric a little bit about it. Our previous our previous city manager actually brought it up into a meeting that was held, I think, a couple years ago to some of the leaseholders. And not speaking of any names, but there wasn't really any, some of them were very in favor of it. And thought it was a good idea. They weren't completely opposed to another tax or something like that. If it's approached right, I think this is a body that can tackle something like that if you folks feel that it's our purview to do that.
Now, are you talking about a tax? Is that what you just mentioned? And that would be on one side of the Embarcadero or both sides or...
Up for discussion.
Bill, do you have the time and the inclination to prepare a little brief for the board on that topic?
Yes.
Sometime in the next month?
Yeah, I'll do that, and I'll bring it forth.
Okay. I mean, that encourages my thinking about participation in declaring it a future agenda item.
Okay. Let me.
It's a fairly, as you know, it's a fairly sophisticated issue.
Yeah.
So, and it would be really great if there was a little brief on that.
We'll do that. That will be my contribution to convincing you that it's something that we should tackle.
Okay, so why don't you give us a motion to declare a future agenda item and to include some...
I would like to include as a future agenda item the creation of a business improvement district in the Embarcadero for the primary purpose of funding infrastructure projects in the harbor.
Okay. Second?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Discussion? Seeing none, call the question. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? None. Carries. Any other future agenda items that anyone would like to put forward? Okay. Seeing none, that brings us to adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Second. Okay, moved and seconded by Jeremiah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None? Adjourned. Thank you.